Hey everybody, it's Gilfie Association Football. Again, surprise.
Hey!
Oh, hi Ro.
We got some soccer stuff for you.
We do have soccer stuff.
Soccer stuff, I'm for soccer stuff.
I'm pro soccer. If any of the candidates ran into pro soccer, then I would vote for them.
That's probably true, actually. I would vote for them. Yeah. If they vote on, like, what if...
Well, maybe I'll run for presidency, like, I'll get 2 votes.
I would vote for you.
Yeah, I...
You guys suck.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one. What if one of the candidates ran on just, like, a pro-America, having nothing to, like say nothing about any of their policies, and was just like, you know, America's
just
awesome.
I'd vote for
America's
me.
The greatest
just
thing.
Just pro-jingoism.
Yep. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think it's my vote.
America's the best. We're going to put all of our money into sports, Olympics, soccer.
And American flags.
Yes, everywhere.
Better than being Funkasaurus bait.
That's not true.
I don't even know what that means, and it doesn't sound like it's that great.
It sounds like a great thing.
Let's just move on.
Anyway, so
lots of
what
have
we got? Yeah,
we got a lot of footage. We got 5 matches to talk about.
Uh oh.
Speaking of which, we're watching our junior right now, Mr. Slide Tackle.
That's great.
Anywho,
well, the big story of this week came this morning when it was announced that WPS is no longer. Yeah.
So. But they're hopeful for 2013, which means it's not going to happen.
Which means they're toast.
Yeah. You got to figure that at some point, you know, it's really, really hard to establish a top line sports league, you know, like with women. It's just being honest. Men's sports make unbelievable amounts of millions of dollars, and trying to create a women's league, which is sustainable and also a success, is hard.
I mean, really, the only...
It's even hard for MLS.
Yeah, absolutely.
The only
especially in America.
The only women's sport that does well is tennis.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's because they play top level. I mean...
Doesn't golf do okay?
And sand volleyball, see, you say nothing, Rob.
I mean, golf does okay, but it's not as... I mean, basically, when Amica was around, it did really well, but now it's like, oh, no one really cares.
I feel like I feel like a lot of tennis is because the women are usually pretty good looking.
And the women are also good at tennis.
That's the thing, because men's tennis has just become hit the ball really fucking hard, whereas women's tennis is actually...
That's why I actually said this. I enjoy watching women's tennis more because it's more tactical.
It's more entertaining to watch.
I watch the guys one, and they fucking aced each other every serve.
Well, quit watching Andy Roddick, where that's all he does. It's so annoying.
I'll just keep watching women's with the good looking
he's also
women and
the least
tactical.
He's also the least American player to, I think, ever play an American sport. Like, raised in Paris. Like, I don't even think he came to America.
Kobe?
He's a good one.
He's less American than Lennon.
I don't think that's true because Lennon's not American at all.
Exactly.
See what you did there. anyway, WPS.
So,
this sucks.
Yeah.
Can we just say that?
Coming off of last year's World Cup and then... Now the Olympic boost they're going to get this summer. Now is the best time for it to grow and expand, and now it's just completely fucked.
That happened the last time. I was reading on Twitter.
Yeah.
The
WPUSA.
Yeah. Folded right after. They won the World Cup, right?
They did, yeah, right
away. Oh, gosh, it's awful. Now, I don't really have a side to take on this because for some reason there's an interesting divide, and it's basically everybody versus Abby Wambach. Which is interesting, and I don't think that she's very dumb. So, there's got to be more to this than just, hey, you know, we spend all of our money in this legal battle with the ex-owner of Magic Jack.
Dan Borislav.
We'll be hearing his name later.
Do you think that getting rid...
Okay.
Do you think that getting rid of this women's league is going to hurt the women's national team?
Probably not, but it's not going to help it in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, it's not going to help the growth of the game.
I mean, really the only
thing... Are we just going to send our ladies abroad to play?
Yeah. And they'll have absolutely no trouble finding work abroad.
Well, we already have one woman abroad playing in the Champions League Final Four.
Who's that?
Krieger.
Oh, really?
With FSV Frankfurt.
Nice.
But she's now out for the year, so that kind of sucks.
And I imagine we'll see a few more Yanks do well, especially Champions League. I mean, Hope Solo, one of the best goalkeepers in the world.
Mike, will we see them go abroad, or will we see more of a late 90s, just they tour all the time and play 100 matches a year?
I don't know. I don't know if that's entirely realistic. Is that... You mean like a early 90s men's national team kind of thing where it's like a residency camp and they just run around and play?
Well, if you look at all the women's cap records, like Mia Hamm and Lily has almost 300 caps because they played 50 games a year.
Okay.
All they did was they just played international matches.
But all the time.
All the time. They played a nonstop schedule.
I was kind of wondering if that could be like a profitable thing, just having national teams on the women's scene for us.
I mean,
just having them host
for us, maybe, but
and
for
maybe giving
a lot of other
part
countries,
of the revenue.
It's a bigger draw than WPS is in this. It's in the States.
Oh yeah. Well, that's just because it brings it's the national team. You know,
yeah.
People who like America are going to watch it.
Yeah, very true. And they're still drawing some really nice numbers for friendlies too. I forget there was a golf tweet about the latest numbers for sales for tickets.
What were the attendance numbers for the Olympics? Qualified.
Well, those were in Canada, so that'd be a relevant conversation.
Yeah.
Those were Vancouver fans.
Boo.
Vancouver.
But I believe they've already got 11 or 13,000 for their friendly that's still a couple weeks away.
Yeah, against New Zealand in...
That's very, very respectable.
Yeah. But where is that? Is that at Home Depot Center?
I don't know. Somewhere in the United States of America.
There are a few places... in the States that would take that for a men's match.
Yeah, that's true.
Seattle.
Doesn't make any sense.
I don't blame Seattle that much.
Frisco, Texas. FC Dallas. The former Pizza Hut Park.
Yeah. What's it called now?
FC Dallas Stadium.
A joke. Anyway, so...
Oh, WPS, it's a joke because they're not whoring it out for advertising?
It's a joke because they haven't even named it after somebody awesome like St. James.
Or, like, no.
St. McCauley.
That Hunt guy.
What's his name?
Lamar. Lamer.
Larry.
Lawrence.
Lawrence Hunt, yeah.
Lawrence. My guy.
Yeah. So, women's soccer. Good week. Shitty week.
Good week. Really shitty week.
Yeah. Anywho.
That's like the ultimate mix.
Do we have anything
38 goals
to?
For, none against, and they lose their league?
Yeah, 38-0 over five matches.
They would have gotten 40.
Yeah. We got some good stuff.
Are you really
about.
Complaining?
No.
The U.S. went, what, 5-0 this week, so
mm-hmm.
not a bad results-wise.
Not at all.
The U.S. marched on to Panama City and stole a 1-0 win.
This
against...
was a very, very good 2 weeks for the U.S.
Yeah. Okay, but can we talk about how Panama was ridiculous and how we're back to the empty bucket? I hope that goes away really quickly.
I'm just, it's weird thinking that, you know, I've been calling for results and now they're finally here and now people are complaining about the other way around. Like, I'm pleased we won because if you think about it, this is the exact same kind of match we'll see in qualifying. This is the exact same
thing. No, you're right.
You like how we're winning when we start just going towards the Bob Bradley style wins?
Well, see, but
I don't care about the style of wins. I care about the letter on the board.
But it's ironic.
A wee bit.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Sorry, I had so watching some highlights and Jovetic just scored a ridiculous goal. Anyway, I see what you're saying, and I think it's really good that Jurgen kind of swallowed a little bit of pride, and he went into Central America trying to get a result, and he did, and a result he did get. So
and it was deserved.
Maybe,
we were
the
better team.
Maybe that's what we're gonna see. And you know what? Even though we played the empty bucket first half more so than in the second, we had the lion's share of possession, which never happens whenever we go into Central America.
I feel like we were even more threatening. Against Panama with the empty bucket than we had been when we did the 4-3-3.
Think so?
I disagree.
Yeah,
I think we looked better against Venezuela.
Maybe it's just because of who we were playing, but I just thought that the attack looked better against Panama.
I think you were literally the only person who would ever make that contention.
Not compared to Venezuela. I'm not saying that. Like
to
the matches in September and August against Mexico.
Well, we all figured that it would take a little bit of time for this system to make sense. Now, granted, we look good now, but those players had like 3 weeks to train under Jurgen.
But again, look at the players we're talking about here: Jeff Park, Brad Evans,
God,
guys who never won't be there.
Yeah, these guys won't be, like, very few of these guys will be there during qualifying. So.
That's why I'm not sure how much I should care about these results.
It's, I'm glad we won, is all I can say. We want to build a culture of winning in this program, and that's really all I care about. Sure, it was ugly, but we got the win. Yep. That's all I care about.
Do you think that's really going to turn over, though, once we pretty much clean house and bring in a whole new group of players for the real
matches?
That's
my only concern.
I think so, yes.
Are they going to be like, oh, this B team won both their matches, so...
I mean, there's a fair amount of
turnover.
There's
going to be expectations, and then now Jurgen has the ability to say, well, you know, we got a guy like Cameron, who played very well. Okay, unlucky red card. Who played very well over the course of these two matches. And you know what? If you're not going to go out there and win, this is the guy who does.
And if nothing else, like you said, he can say, hey, you know, I don't care if you're, you know, a 40-time capped Serie A veteran. If this kid can get it done with two caps and an MLS job, he's going to push for spots.
Was that a reference to Sexy Lexi?
No.
Michael Bradley?
More or less.
Yes.
But, I mean,
I'm
if you look
to
at,
agree.
If you look
like
at,
her, if you're a ginger center back, you're going to have to fight for your spot.
If you look at the road qualifiers in 2010, we won 1-0 at Guatemala by a Boca Negra header.
I remember that, yeah.
We lost 2-1 at Trinidad.
Yep.
And we won, was it 1-0 at Cuba? Yeah, 1-0 at Cuba.
We lost against Trinidad after we had already clinched.
Yeah, the Trinidad game was meaningless.
Yeah, so we put out
so
literally the B team for that one.
A 1-0 win at Guatemala, a 1-0 win at Cuba, and then in the Hex.
Hex was bad.
You know, we had that,
wasn't it?
We had that absolute just.
The Costa Rica?
The Costa Rica debacle. Losing.
What was that, 3-1?
It was basically
3-0. Donovan got
a consolation
penalty.
We drew 2-2 at El Salvador.
That was awful.
We lost 3-1 to Costa Rica.
The Mexico match, which was unfortunate.
Yeah, lost 2-1 to Mexico. Won 1-0 at Trinidad because of a Clark wonder goal. And then just snuck by Honduras 3-2 because of that sneaky Donovan free kick and the missed penalty. So this
remember our trip to Chicago for that Honduras match?
Myself,
that was great.
Myself, Rob, and AO President Chris Engel, or AO Milwaukee President Chris Engel drove down. Was Jaeger there too?
Yep.
Yeah, and last week's guest, Ryan Jaeger, made an appearance at Small Bar.
1 week.
It was last week.
Yeah?
We went down there, and basically the four of us ran that bar because the Chicago AO was quite reserved in their vocal sounds, to say the least.
We did some damage there.
We went harder than they did.
As always.
As always. But so, you look at the results. 1-0 win, 1-0 win, 3-1 loss, 2-1 loss. 2-2 draw, 1-0 win, and 3-2
But these results are all fine as long as you're taking care of business at home.
Bill, that's what I'm saying. You know, a 1-0
Which is never a guarantee, as
we're
saying. An
ugly 1-0 win at Panama is what I'd expect in qualifying. So what? I'm cool with this result.
Okay. I do like the idea, though, of having almost a couple of different... a couple different formations and tactics while still playing the same... We want lion's share of possession, and we want it to be at our tempo. That was the worst thing about watching any U.S. match over the last cycle of World Cup qualifying was going into Guatemala and letting them tell us what the pace of the game was going to be. That's what was
and
cool then about this match.
Watch Ruiz kick Howard,
yeah,
and then punching the TV and getting electrocuted.
That's why no matter what happens, Ricardo Clark will still be a favorite of mine after the kick to Ruiz. No matter what he ever does... The fact that he kicked Ruiz when he was completely defenseless makes him one of my favorite players of all time.
Much respect.
Oh, absolutely. That's just took over the team right there.
I couldn't even bring myself to cheer for Ruiz when he played for the Union.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't support the Union at all if he played there again. Which he won't, because he never plays anywhere twice, and I'm pretty sure he's on, like, his...
or stays there for more than, like, 6 months.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. But that never happens.
I think his longest term was at
I think
LA.
That's because people get so damn sick of him.
I think LA was his longest term with one club. Because
they realize he's
really?
A cunt.
Let's see.
That dude sucks. Where's he now?
Okay, he spent 7 years at Municipal, 1 year at Guyana, 3 years at the Galaxy, two with the Dallas, one with the Dallas, with half season with the Galaxy, half with Toronto FC, Olympia for a year, two at Puebla, two at Aries, part of a season at the Union, and now they're a cruise in Mexico.
Oh, yeah, that was the Cuauhtemoc Blanco debacle where he thought, oh, I'm going to go there and make them into an amazing club. Nope.
He's on his 10th team right now.
Jeez.
Since 95. And his 9th since 2000.
That's awful.
Yeah, that guy sucks. So, Carlos Ruiz, if you're listening, fuck you.
And stop listening.
Yeah.
Please.
Anyway,
I thought,
come on, guys, we need as many viewers as listeners as we can get.
I don't want Ruiz as a listener. I'll take that hit.
Very, very positive camp, if you ask me. What players stick around?
Well, let's go against Panama back to front as usual. Nick Raimondo, man of the match.
Yeah, I'd say so. He was very solid all the way thoroughly. And to be honest, I don't really know who I would want to name man of the match other than that.
Yeah, there wasn't any really sterling performances, I would say. Yeah.
I mean, in the half he played, he made more saves than Hamid and Johnson did in their game and a half combined.
Yeah.
And he made some huge saves.
He did.
I think he...
It's just a shame he's not more physically gifted.
The thing is, he doesn't need to be. He's just that... He's that... His positioning is so good. He reads the game really well. He's such a freak athletically.
Yeah.
His size doesn't really matter. Once in a while, you'll see a goal that might have been saved by a larger man, but a less agile man might not have gotten to that ball anyway. But I think his performance kind of shows why he's my number three goalkeeper right now. Let's say the worst happens and Howard and Guzan get hurt. I put Raimondo in goal.
Oh, he would, and to be honest, I think Jurgen would too.
I think he put Hamid in goal.
Chris Seitz?
Really? I think Chris Seitz is around 50th in the depth chart.
Maybe.
And he's
just behind you.
He's just behind an injured me. So Raimondo was a definite bright spot. I think Johnson did well as well when he came back in.
Johnson did do well.
I mean, the most difficult... shot he faced was Jeff Park's own goal deflection.
Jeez.
Jeff Park was a disaster.
Jeff Park sucks balls.
That was not very good. But Johnson looked good at least, so it's nice to have a backup Olympic keeper and a fourth, fifth keeper at his age.
Yeah.
Back line, De La Garza, Parkhurst, Cameron Lloyd.
What was up with Lloyd? Why did he come off? Did we ever find out?
He was just really bad. I think, honestly, is more of you all are playing like ass right now, so someone needs to pay for it.
And he got the...
Lloyd really had a mixed bag in these two friendlies.
I mean, Lloyd going forward was pretty good, but he had some issues keeping the offside line. And considering the high press we were playing, that's kind of important to not let everyone be outside.
As poor as he looked at Panama, I thought he looked equally as good against Venezuela.
I don't think Pierce really played that much better. That Pierce outshone Lloyd this week or last week, but I don't think either really stuck a claim to the left back spot.
Yeah,
I think they both have earned another shot, but they're not going to be A-teamers quite yet.
Center backs, extremely happy with Parkhurst and Cameron.
Parkhurst is definitely an option for an island team, so like Antigua, Jamaica, if we play Cuba again.
In other words, if we know we're not going to be under a constant barrage of crosses and in a bunch of trouble, he's very, very good at maintaining control of the game.
Yeah, Panama definitely played the long ball, trying to beat him over the top.
Didn't work.
In terms of positioning, he was there, and having Cameron as cover as well was... I think if you pair Parkhurst with a larger man, like a Cameron or looking AC and like a Gooch...
Parker's like 5'10", right?
He's not a big man.
5'10" or 5'11", it's one of those. He's certainly not 6".
Which is a shame because he's not agile enough to play it.
He's not very quick.
The back spot.
He is 5'11". But especially considering, if you look at the back line, Lloyd out of position, Parkhurst out of position, De La Garza out of position.
Yeah.
Cameron, new position. And then look up, Zusi out of position.
Yeah.
Half our players are playing out of position.
Yeah.
So not bad.
Not bad. I think the red card, I don't really fault Cameron. It's one of those things that happens in South America, or Central America. I mean...
We'll never know how hard the contact actually was there.
But the contact was there. By the book, probably a red card. It's not something I'm angry about. It's not something I completely agree with. It just kind of happens. And again, in qualifying, it's just kind of going to happen. It's the thing you got to get used to. And I think especially having, you know, a 1-0 win in Panama, being down a man for 40 minutes.
We did awfully well.
It's going to happen. I mean, we're going to have a guy sent off, you know, probably in Guatemala. Someone's going to get sent off.
Ruiz is going to bait someone.
Exactly. Someone's going to throw a punch. And then we play down a man for an hour. But that's the kind of thing you need to learn how to play.
I thought we handled it really well.
I definitely agree. I mean, we slowed down going forward, but that's what you have to do to win games. You have to adjust to what you have been dealt, and that's what they did.
All right, now midfielders.
We had Shea, Jones, Clark, and Zusi.
Literally the only midfielders.
Shea was sick. There's been talk of him having the flu this past week, which makes a lot more sense why he sucked so hard. Because he was
invisible.
Yeah, and he looked slow. He looked...
We didn't get as Brechtual as we usually
do. No. We were very...
Very lack of Brechtuality.
Very placid in the Breck region. But, I mean, if you're coming off the flu, it's going to... I mean, look at Donovan against Mexico. He looked like
he got burned.
Because he had swine flu.
Yeah. And
it's going to happen. I think Jones looked good, but he looked bored almost. Like, I'm just going to try shit.
Yeah, I don't... He's... Well, first, he probably noticed fairly quickly that
he was
aside from Shade, yeah, it was that like he was easily the best player in that, at that camp.
I mean, the best comparison I can think of is if you stuck me in like a U7 game and said, go play soccer, I'm going to try ridiculous shit because I'm just that much better than everybody
it's
else.
It's going to be like Billy Madison with the dodgeball.
Exactly, yes. That's perfect. And I think he wasn't challenged, so he forced things that he didn't need to force. And that's why there's so many giveaways, because he was just bored. And wanted to be entertained. Clark, he played his role, but there's really no spot for him on this level.
Yeah, the full with all of the options there,
and
I don't
being
think
paired
a
with another defensive midfielder, Clark really had no reason to be there. He was superfluous to the requirements.
Sure, he scored the goal, which is great for him, but
we just have too many defensive mids.
But you know, the other 87.
Exactly.
Wasn't exactly all that impressive.
What, how about Graham Zusi, though?
Out of position.
Out of position.
I'd really like to see Graham Zusi in the center where he belongs, because he clearly is not... He needs a lot more pace if he's going to play on the wing, and that's just not who he is. So.
Which, well, that's going to happen when you play someone in the wrong position. They're going to look out of depth. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
But still, he made a smart play on the goal. He was in the right position, and instead of just putting his foot through it, he went under the keeper, which...
Do you think
I think we were all expecting him to swing through it and just blast it, and then he tucks it home. Like,
do you think he's even close to jumping Torres in the spot?
See, we haven't seen Torres play
they're not the same player.
But
though.
Do you remember how?
But they're
going to
be
Torres
doing
was?
The same. They're not attacking mid position.
But Zeus is more of an Iniesta, Xavi sitting back and playing, you know, the puppet master compared to Torres in the attacking role.
Additionally, I think that it's been a long time since we've seen Torres play because of his like weird injury with his metatarsal or whatever.
Broken foot.
And I think that we should remember how freaking awesome he was in like the last couple. He was the most impressive player on the field for me.
That Costa Rica match?
Yeah. He was really good.
But I think if it comes down, there's room for both of them in a lineup. If you
there is.
If you play as a... like that diamond or the triangle midfield with two wingers and one guy up top, there's room for like a Bradley Zusi middle with towards the point.
Is there also positive problems to have, because we forget that, you know, people like Donovan or Dempsey need to be in the, well, like one of them needs to be in the middle, and what happens when Stu Holding comes back, if he gets back to health? These are good problems to have.
I'm not going to complain.
Not at all. Absolutely not.
Oh, we're too deep. Son of a bitch.
Oh, no. Anyway, forwards?
Forwards. Bunbury looks like crap.
I've given up on Bunbury.
He's 22,
23 sophomore slump was putting it lightly, and he gave us absolutely no reason to believe he has a better touch than any inanimate object on the face of the planet. So,
yeah, the whole like not hitting the ball on Tucci's goal is kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, like not even making contact.
Pretty bad. But I'm not going to quit on him. I mean, he showed a lot of flashes early on. His rookie year, and then late in his sophomore year.
I can't believe you're writing Bunbury off already, though.
That's foolish.
He was punk as shit.
Well, so was Shea against Columbia last year. He looked like absolute asshole.
Well, you see, but that was Shea's first cap. Bunbury's been a national team player for about a year.
This is his fourth cap. And he's played a combined 200 minutes. Shea's second cap wasn't much better.
Okay, is this better to say? I've given up on expecting or wanting him on the roster for now in February. No Bunbury.
Well, those are two completely different things.
Yeah, that's
fine. One is his
one's giving up on him for a month.
One is Eddie Johnson, get him out of the pool. One is he had a bad month. They're two completely different things.
No, he's had a bad 12 months.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, honestly, he was very unimpressive for Kansas City, minus, like, two goals that he scored earlier in the year.
But there's two completely different things to say.
Speaking of sporting in Kansas City, CJ Sapong's pretty awesome.
More importantly, how about Wondolowski? Once again, in a great position, did everything you're supposed to do, but got absolutely shafted by the goalkeeper, making a ridiculous save. One of the best I've ever seen.
I wouldn't play Wondolowski just because I think he's freaking cursed.
I don't think he's cursed.
He is not destined to score a goal.
I made the point during the match against Panama that it may not be a matter of him getting unlucky. I just think that his presence on the field makes goalkeepers better. Their attributes improve. Their reflexes are better. They get taller. I don't know what happens, but for some reason there's something about him.
But he is the best finisher in the pool. There's not a single American I'd rather give a
round. I hate that I have to say that. I hate that I have to... Well, Dempsey's a better finisher. But
disagree.
What?
In terms of pure finishing ability, I'd prefer Wondolowski.
I'm just saying, but I'm going to take the guy who scored 11 goals in the EPL in the last month over
not,
the dude who scores in MLS.
We're not discussing skill. We're talking about finishing. In terms of isolating just
putting
finishing.
Putting the ball...
In terms of kicking the ball into the net...
Correct.
...on chances, for me, it's Wondolowski, Gomez, the rest.
If they're wearing a U.S. shirt, I'm not putting Wando first.
No.
I don't know. Nope. The ball just doesn't go across the line for the poor guy.
He did everything right. He just got unlucky.
But he always gets unlucky.
Literally what you're saying is contradicting everything that you hate about Jurgen Klinsmann. Everything looks right, but then we don't get results.
But no,
I understand that he got shafted, and it sucks. And you know what? He did as well with those as he could have done. But it just... Like, I'm not saying that I wouldn't play him, but it irks me that the ball doesn't go into the back of the net.
No,
it bugs me.
It's two different... It's apples and oranges.
They're both fruit.
Okay, it's apples versus steak.
They're both food.
They're both food.
It's apples and TVs.
They're both things. They're both nouns.
I'm gonna punch you both in your dicks.
Okay, so wait. So what are we actually talking about?
Wondolowski deserves to be on the bench for the A-team, if you ask me.
Well, I don't see that we have any better options, so...
And that's why he deserves to be on the bench for the A-team. I don't want him starting, but
I wish that we had better options.
I want him
wrong.
Coming off the bench as a, 75th minute, we need a goal, so come find one.
Okay.
Off the bench, we had Jeff Park come in and almost score an own goal. Heath Pierce come in and play defense. Brad Evans come in and play soccer.
Did we talk about Big Africa?
We were going to.
Okay.
And then we had Jeff Vernowitz doing a job.
doing a job.
My note is he did a job. And that was not a spelling mistake. He did a job. But then there's Big Africa, who did lots of jobs.
I think that's what we're looking for as far as a target striker goes. And he's as close to that, hey,
a big guy who's going to hold the ball.
Exactly.
And do something with it as well.
First of all, screw the Magic Jack commercial that just came on. I'm so not over that. But, Altidore's not that single striker. I think we're slowly finding out, which really sucks, but he's not. And, Wondo could do that, I suppose. But past that?
Wondo can't be a single striker. He needs to run off somebody.
I feel as though Sapong right now, as far as how he played against Panama, may be our best option for a true, target striker.
I think behind Buttle, yes.
Buttle, you're right, yeah.
Assuming Buttle finds a club to play with.
Because apparently he doesn't have one, kind of.
We'll get there.
Yeah, what's going on with him?
We'll talk about that.
Okay. Eventually. But still, Big Africa, CJ Sapong, really good.
He's not quite an A-teamer for me quite yet, but he's...
Would you be upset if you got a call-up?
I wouldn't be upset. I'd be a bit surprised, but I wouldn't be upset.
Okay.
I guess there was a blog posted on US Soccer blog about how the camp, this camp in the cycle, always brings out three World Cup players. Like three guys on this roster make the World Cup. Or sorry, six guys.
Wait. 6 guys on this roster or 6 guys over the course of 4 years?
On this particular camp roster.
Oh, the last, also the one after the World Cup.
The second Camp Cupcake after the World Cup.
Six
guys make the World Cup roster.
Wow. That's kind of depressing for me because I don't know if I have... Oh! One of the goalkeepers, I think we'll see either Hamid or Johnson or Raimondo on the roster, so that's a pretty...
Which six from this camp? Excluding Jones, because Jones was a late call-in. And we're going to include Iguodala and Beckerman, because they were initially called in. So which of the original call-ins, which six make the World Cup
Zusi,
roster?
Shea, Sapong, Cameron.
Iguodala,
and Hamid.
Yeah, I go Hamid, Cameron, Shea, Iguodala.
Could you really not see somebody like Lloyd getting in just because we need a left back?
I think there's enough upcoming talent that he's not going to be that.
That will hopefully play for us, cross your fingers.
That it won't be such a great depression.
Hi, Adam Henley. Hi.
Hey, Adam. What's up?
Derek Williams. What's up, buddy? Danny Pop, love your hair.
Hey, guy. How's it going, man?
I think Parkhurst might have a shot, and...
Okay, but you get six.
Iguodala.
Okay. So, not one of the keepers?
I mentioned him first.
Okay, that's right. Not Zusi?
I don't see him as a full national team contributor. I think he's more of a Brad Evans Brad Evans type.
Oh,
just really, really.
How about
talented.
A Brad Davis type?
That's what I meant, Brad Davis.
I was like, that's pessimistic of you.
No, Brad Davis.
Dead
ball specialist, not athletically gifted, not quite enough to make the roster, but he'll always be kind of like, maybe he should be there. I'd love to see more, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I'm a huge Zeus fan, and if it does, I will go nuts for it.
Sweet.
Because Zeus is the man.
How about this? Zeus and Mix pairing in the midfield.
I don't even want to think about it, because my head will explode.
No.
And that's impossible!
You will grow a perm immediately. Just like, your hair will curl.
It'll pop out of my head. I guess next up, we've got
Rob?
Italy.
Rob, do you have six?
What'd you get?
The six?
The six.
While I was going through, I had Sapong, Shea, Iguodala. I don't think we'll see Beckerman. I agree. One of the goalies will get thrown in there.
I think that the other will be Guzan. I don't have a whole lot of doubt there.
Yeah. I would put down a small amount of money on the three being Howard, Guzan, and Hamid.
Okay. Yeah.
I might put down like $5-$10 right now with that.
Because that paid off pretty well.
I'm still not going to write off that Bunbury's not that fourth striker gets in.
Okay.
What about Cameron?
See, I could see Cameron because Gooch
can be 32.
And Goodson are going to be older.
Be 35, so I don't even know if he'll be on the roster at all.
I don't know if Bokeniger is going to do much, even in the hex, honestly.
Yeah, he might not.
That's why Cameron might be in there.
Yeah. And Cameron proved to be a pretty solid option. And we always thought that he might be, but he's been hurt forever.
He's a very solid option.
He's a good athlete. I'll throw Cameron. Cameron will be my sixth. You talked me into it.
Yeah. Well, next up we have Italy in Genoa on Leap Day. So we got about a month before the next
My game. Uncle's birthday, actually.
Oh, that's fun.
He's turning 13.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I guess we're on to the Lady Nats. The women continued their... destruction of CONCACAF, attacking off Mexico 4-0, Costa Rica 3-0, and Canada 4-0.
Yep.
In a matter of 5 days. So knocking off the three best teams in CONCACAF by a total scoreline of 11-0.
You mean like the three next best teams?
Well, like what we're going to do to them? Like what the men are going to do to them?
I don't know about that.
Anyway. So Mexico.
What is this optimism bullshit?
Mexico, we saw a hat trick from Carly Lloyd and a goal from Heather O'Reilly with assists from two from the Buildozer and one from Lauren Cheney. I think the most impressive performance I saw from the entire tournament was Buehler and O'Reilly on that right side against Mexico.
Buehler.
On defense.
She was present.
Yeah, on defense, Buehler just absolutely destroyed everything and did well going forward. And O'Reilly was an absolute terror on that right wing.
All right.
It was fun seeing Cheney kind of bounce back and forth between that second striker, playing the number 10, playing some left wing, just playing everywhere, basically. Christy Rampone and Becky Sauerbrunn put together a nice pairing in the back. And assuming you put Buehler on the right in exchange for Krieger, I think that's pretty much your back four of the lapel bit. Rampone, Sauerbrunn, and Buehler going into the Olympics.
Okay.
That's pretty much all I got from Mexico. Costa Rica 3-0. Had some trouble getting their stamp on the game. Costa Rica had some hit the crossbar, actually, at one point in the first half and drew a big save from Solo that...
oh, hell no. We almost gave up a goal.
Yeah. Oh, they hit the
woodwork. What is this madness?
They hit the woodwork. What the hell?
Let's fire somebody.
But they scored early on. He scored in the 16th minute, and then it took him another... 56 minutes to score again. And then a late, I think, 9th-minute finisher from Morgan. But, first half, we got outplayed in large portions of it. Solo carrying injuries still came up pretty big a couple times. But I think the big thing from the Costa Rica game was seeing Morgan kind of return to being her lethal self against Mexico.
Be a cutie.
Against Mexico. She actually didn't play at all, and Pia chose to bring Sydney LaRue on at halftime and have her as the number two.
That and, little fire under her ass, though.
And after the game, Pia asked Morgan, how'd you feel about being replaced by LaRue? And her response to Pia was, you don't want to know. To which Pia said, good, get in there. And then end up scoring 3 goals in the next couple games. So, clearly against Canada, she sparked with 2 goals and 2 assists, taking woman of the match for that game. Other goals, Wambach scoring her 130th to 131st, putting her second all-time in women's, U.S. women's goal scoring. Actually, international as well, because Mia Hamm is number one. And then it's now Wambach and Sinclair from Canada tied at 131. So, the amazing thing is Mia Hamm retired at age 32.
Yeah.
She retired with a good 5-6 years left and still scored 158 international goals.
Because she can.
Because she can. And then had
Because she's better than everyone.
And then had 2 children who will do better things than I will ever do, given their lineage with her and Noma.
Noma.
So they're those kids will do absurd things in sports. Or do absolutely
bad Boston.
Or mooch hard.
Or be complete total waste of space. But let's hope for the U.S. national team it's the former.
Yeah.
So overall, I mean...
Sim goes for Ronaldo's kid.
But 38-0. Pretty good.
So the women, I'm assuming the women had more goals than they gave up shots?
Probably, actually.
That would be something I want to look into. But I'd probably say yes to that.
Because that would be a funny stat. Deliver.
So that happened. Not much. There's no highlights, so I can't tell you.
So our under 23 national team is somewhere mid table in Costa Rica. Is that what we've deciphered in the reserve league?
This was
the reserve. We were somewhere mid table in the reserve league of Costa Rica.
Basically, yes.
That's great.
That's fun.
Lovely. So that's our 5-0 week for the
Did we talk Knicks. Richie Williams last time around?
I do not believe we did, but we will later.
Okay.
We actually mentioned last week about Dempsey's goal-scoring numbers this season, and socceroverthere.com ran a bit of a numbers piece over this week showing his goals scored. Since December 1st, the two leading goal scorers in the world are Clint Dempsey and Leo Messi with 10 apiece.
Yep.
In terms of...
I don't believe Van Persie's far behind in a couple of those.
Van Persie has 6.
Okay.
That's it?
Yes.
Feels like more.
But in terms of goals across all competitions, like Ben asked, on the top 5, Dempsey and Demba Ba have 15, Kun Aguero has 17, Wayne Rooney has 18, and Van Persie has an astonishing 23 goals in all competitions this season.
He's just filthy.
Yeah, just nasty.
When he's healthy, he destroys...
That doesn't include this weekend. I think Van Persie put in 2 more.
Yeah,
two more in the Carling Cup.
They were both from the spot, though.
It still counts. So 25 goals this season in all competitions. But Dempsey is now 95th all-time in EPL for goals scored, which is kind of fun.
That is cool.
How high do you think he'll get before he throws it up?
Maybe 70.
Gosh, we wanted
first.
The top
I thought you
70.
Said 7. I was like, "Ooh, that'd be nice."
No, that's like 400 more goals.
To be one of the top 100 strikers to ever play in the EPL
in the last 20 years. Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's nice.
That's awesome.
It's fun.
What else we got?
We got Yank news now.
Oh boy, marathon.
Actually, not much to talk about.
Okay.
Lots of
that's a lot of words for not a lot to talk about.
It's like a half page. It was not
Yank
much for
news.
Us. We usually have like a page of Yank News.
That's true.
It's a pretty slow week. Lots of scheduling to talk about, though. Brazil is almost certainly going to be at FedEx Field in Maryland on May 30th.
Looks like I'm going to that.
May 30th?
Yes.
But shortly before that.
Shortly before that, there's a rumored Scotland friendly being played in Jacksonville, Chicago, or another location I can't think of right now.
Jacksonville?
Chicago.
Come on, Chicago.
Chicago. Why? Jacksonville. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Jacksonville would be the most random, stupid place to put a soccer game ever.
It'd be pretty shitty.
Do that's you like remember the last time we tried to put a game in Florida?
That's the third
Honduras.
That's the third or fourth largest city in Florida.
And it's an absolute shithole.
Actually, it's fourth or fifth.
Actually, it's a shithole.
That's the fourth or fifth largest shithole in
Orlando's larger than Jacksonville, isn't it?
I have no idea.
Probably. Now, see, Chicago makes absolute perfect sense. They haven't played a match in Chicago in over a year, which is actually, in recent times, quite a long period to not play in Chicago.
Since they're even based in...
Yeah, exactly. The soccer house is right there.
Yeah.
So when would this match be? A few days before?
Either May 27th or the 29th.
So if it's in Chicago, I'm going to end up staying here till then, and then you guys are going to come with me for the drive back for the Brazil match, right?
We'll
I'd consider it.
We'll see.
I'd think about it.
The last match in Jacksonville was February 1999 when we beat Germany 3-0 with goals from Jovan Karofsky, Tony Sané, and Claudio Reyna.
That's not
bad.
Maybe
we should play them more often.
Shoot.
Then.
Before that...
that can be our CONCACAF fortress.
We beat Israel in 97 with Sexy Lexi and Karofsky getting goals.
Yeah, we did.
2-0?
Yeah. 2-0, 2-1. And then in April of 1994, we played... Moldova and drew 1-1 with a goal from Mike Sorber.
Moldova.
They'll get you.
Moldova. Before that, that's all we got for Jacksonville. So 3 in Jacksonville.
But anyway, though. Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago.
Wow. The only thing that city is good for besides overpriced music festivals. It's about, and the Blue Man Group. So that's it. That's literally it.
Second city.
Oh, yeah, you're right. They've given us a lot of great comedians.
They're really Chicago-style pizza.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of deep dish.
That's all right.
I'm more of a New York guy.
Anywho, Steve Goff announced that we'll most likely see the venue for Antigua and Barbuda announced in the next 10 days, and it will be a small to medium-sized venue.
So a soccer-specific stadium is what he's telling us?
Basically.
Okay.
BPL?
No, I don't think so. A couple weeks ago, or about 2 months by now, I threw together a possible 8 location for the host cities for the Distro plus the Hex. I want to get your take. Now, which 8 cities do you think we'll see host?
Off the top of my head.
Off the top. You want to do it next week?
Yeah. Well, places can have 2, right?
We'll do it next week.
As long as Chicago is involved, we'll do it next which week. Means I can go to a match.
We'll do it next week. We'll
okay,
next
good. Week.
Because so I'm pretty sure Chicago had 2, I'm just saying.
They so did.
Coming next week, we'll have your host city predictions.
Since
PPL gets all 8.
I can jive with that.
Right.
Just because